And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to his disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes he had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee. And he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked him, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Brother Louis, in his prayer, said that we are gathered together on this blessed occasion. Normally, when we say blessed occasion, it's a wedding or baptism, something special. But I believe that any time we are together in God's name, where God is present, whether it's two or three or a great multitude, if we are gathered together in God's name, it is a very, very special and blessed occasion. And may we always cherish these moments that we have, being together and being able freely, unmolested by this world, gather together and serve our Heavenly Father. This portion of the chapter that we read, this was the next day after Jesus took James, John, and Peter to the mountain where he was transfigured. When they came down the next day, Jesus saw a great multitude that came, scribes, and they were questioning, they were reasoning, disputing with his disciples. I'm not sure how far Jesus was from them, but he realized that they had a disagreement, the scribes with his disciples. So he came up to them and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? Even though he knew. But he asked them so he can get a direct answer from them. And one of them, I'm not sure if he was a scribe or not, one of them from the multitude said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit." He was a lunatic, mentally disabled. And he said that, then he explains here his actions, what he was doing. He has seizures. So he asked his disciples if they can cast him out, cast out the dumb spirit, the evil spirit, the devil, out of him. He realized that he was possessed by the devil. But there was nothing that the Father was able to do. So he must have heard of the fame of Jesus and knew the authority, the power that he had, that he was able to do miracles and heal people and from all the diseases. So he figured disciples can do the same. They were with him. They were following him. He says, "I asked them to cast him out, and they could not. They were not able to." Now, we know that Jesus, when he chose the 12 disciples, he gave him power and authority to heal the sick, to cast the demons out of men, to do miracles. He gave him power and authority. So they were able to. When he sent them, they came back. They were rejoicing. They said that the evil spirits were gone out of the men. They were very happy to do such miracles. And Jesus told them, "Don't be happy because the evil spirits are bowing down to you or you were able to cast them out, but be happy and joyful because your names are written in the book of life." That's the greatest joy we need to have, that our names are written in the book of life. So he says they couldn't cast them out. So Jesus says, "Well, faithless generation." And another chapter, I think in Matthew and also in Luke, he says, he calls them faithless and perverse generation, those that resist the truth, that go contrary to that which is good. Perverse generation. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you?" Or suffer you. He says, "Bring him to me." So he commanded the evil spirit to leave him and never ever come back into him. Now that's power and that's authority, when you can cast out devil from someone. You know, Mark is one of the shortest gospels. He didn't write a whole lot. He went to the point. He didn't explain too much. But in this chapter, this thing that happened here, he explained in details a lot more than Luke and Matthew. So naturally, the disciples were wondering, why is it that they were not able to cast them out? What was the purpose? They had the power, they had authority, they were with Jesus, they'd done it before. What changed? So they asked, naturally, they asked Jesus, why is it that we couldn't cast them out? And I'm sure they tried. I'm not sure which way, what form they used. If they just said, like Jesus said, you know, to just cast them out, or I'm not really sure what they tried to do. But they were unsuccessful. They couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. So I'm sure they felt down. They were embarrassed somewhat. They felt like perhaps they lost the power, the authority, whatever they had. So Jesus explains to them, in Matthew, he writes, because of the lack of faith. Now, he did not say you did not have any faith. He just said lack of your faith. Now, we think that their faith was great. They've seen all the miracles. They've seen Jesus perform miracles and healing and casting the demons out. I would say that their faith was strong, a lot stronger than perhaps my faith. They knew that he was the Son of God. There was no question about that. And yet Jesus tells them because of the lack of their faith. And then he says that if you have faith as a mustard seed, mustard seed is 1 millimeter around, very, very small. It would take like 25 seeds in a row to make 1 inch. Very, very small seed. But he said, if you had even that small of a faith, that little of a faith, you will be able to ask or tell the mountain to be plucked or moved from one place to another, or move trees plucked out by the roots and planted somewhere else, if they had even that much faith. How much faith do we have? Do we have faith as a mustard seed? Would that be enough? Is that all we need? The disciples asked Jesus one time, they said, increase our faith. If they needed their faith increased, then what can we say? And then he also mentioned to them, he says, this kind of healing or this kind of power can come forward by nothing other than prayer and fasting. So perhaps when that man brought his only son that he had, I'm not sure how old he was, but that they did not pray to God. They did not ask God to give him the power to help them. But perhaps they just tried directly to cast the demon out. Kind of like James and John when Jesus was walking with them and they were going through the city of Samaria and they didn't let him go through. And they asked, what if we set fire and destroy these people? They wanted to really show them who they are. And of course, Jesus rebuked them. By prayer and fasting. Fasting doesn't only mean that we don't eat one day and now we are good, we are pure, we can do all kinds of things. Staying away from anything that will distract us. You have to be in a prayer and truly, truly give yourself to the Spirit, for the Spirit to work. And if they have done that, they would have been able to cast the demon out. But they lost the part of the faith that they had. Now, this father, in the beginning, he had faith. That's the reason he brought his son to Jesus and the disciples. Now, when the disciples were not able to cast him out, what happened to him? He lost the faith too. He started doubting. So when he didn't give up all the way. He didn't give up. Just because the disciples were not able to cast him out, he asked Jesus. He said they were not able to. But if thou canst do anything. Now he has a little doubt. They couldn't do it, so maybe Jesus cannot do it either. So he's questioning him. He says, if thou canst do anything. But yet, you see that he still had some faith and hope. He didn't leave. He says, have compassion. Notice how he says compassion on us and help us. It's not just the boy. He was suffering too. Living with someone that has seizures all the time. He says that, well, in verse 18, he explains, he teared him and foamed, and he foamed, gnashed with his teeth, pined away. And many times he's thrown in the fire and in the water. He constantly had to watch over him. You could not leave him alone. And he said that it happened since he was a child. For a long time he was suffering with him. You know, I had a chance once to be in, to go to school where they had disabled children, mentally and physically. Looking at them, I realized that most of those kids were born that way, and they did not know any better. That's all they knew. It's the way they were born. But think about the parents. It must have been a lot harder for them looking at their children being disabled and suffering, not being able to walk, talk, feed themselves, dress themselves, or anything. It was a lot harder for the parents than for those children that did not know any better. So I can imagine this father not giving up at all. Have compassion on us and help us, both of us. Now Jesus is asking him, since he asked Jesus, if you can do anything, anything, even a little smallest or small thing, anything. So Jesus says, if you can believe, then all things are possible to that person that believes. Everyone in the Bible that was cured or healed from any kind of disease had to have faith. We just read last Wednesday, last verse of the chapter, Matthew 13. The last verse, 58, he says, and he did not many mighty works there. I'm not even sure which place it was now, but anyway, he says, because of their unbelief. It is the power of God that heals, but it's the faith of the one that has the problem that heals. So those that do not believe that God can do anything, they cannot be healed. Whether it's a spiritual sickness or a physical sickness, even spiritually. How can someone be healed? How can someone come to God if he doesn't believe? First, you need, that's the first, the basic, the foundation is the faith. You cannot have hope if you don't have faith. Even love. We know the love is the greatest. Can you have love for God if you don't believe in God? It's not possible. Who do you love if you don't believe there is God? So the faith is the foundation. And we all need it. Without faith, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. So, when Jesus told them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe it. He says, right away the father of the child cried out. He said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. So how can you believe and not believe? He believed, but he still had a little doubt. You know, if we had, as I mentioned earlier, the faith as a mustard seed, we can move the mountains. And yet if we doubt, we create the mountains. We create them instead of moving them. So may we always pray to our God to remove the doubt. Do we ever doubt? I don't think anyone doubts that there is no God. But sometimes we do doubt the power and authority of God. We wonder. We pray for something and yet we wonder, can God really do this? We know that he can, and we say that he can, but sometimes deep down in our heart we have little doubt. If we wouldn't have any doubt, then we would really have a lot of faith. That's the reason we always pray, and we should, as disciples said, increase our faith. Increase it. We have it, but we need the increase so that we would never doubt. Never, ever. This father realized, of course, he had faith. He brought him to Jesus in the very beginning. But then the doubt was created because the disciples were not able to do the miracle. So he begged Jesus to help him in the lack of the faith that he needed to have. So Jesus, with the full authority, said, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, I order you, come out of him and enter no more into him." Notice in the verse 26, and the spirit cried. Instead of running out right away, since he was commanded to run out, he wanted to do a little more damage to that young boy. Just one more time. He knew he had to go out because he had no choice. He was commanded by Jesus. So he rent him sore just one more time. Break him a little bit more, and then he went out. And he fell down, and I'm sure that these scribes, the people, the multitude that was there, when they saw him, it says, he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. I wonder if they were laughing a little bit, thinking, he did more damage to this boy. Now he's dead. He's done. Instead of healing him or casting out the devil, now this boy is dead. That's what they thought. He's done. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I don't know what happened to all the scribes that saw that miracle. It doesn't say if they believed, or I'm sure they were amazed. So they left and passed through Galilee. And then he tells them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of man, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. He reminded them often that he must suffer, that he must be killed, but that he will arise. As the song that we sang at the opening of the service. This is the day that Jesus arose from the dead. The third day he arose. But they didn't understand. They didn't quite understand why he has to die, and then what does it mean? Die and then you arose. You're dead. They did not understand it. They said they were afraid to ask him about it. Later they understood. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, interesting thing is, in this chapter, and the other chapters too that speak about the same incident, right after they were somewhat put to shame because they could not heal the man, Jesus asked them, he said, what was that you were disputing among yourselves, by the way, as they were walking? They were in a little disagreement. They were arguing a little bit. Perhaps quietly, they thought that Jesus will not hear. But maybe Jesus did not hear them, but he knew their thoughts. He hears the thoughts too, the intent of the heart. So when he asked him, what were you talking about? They kept quiet. They didn't want to say anything. Ignored it, ignored the question. You know, sometimes when we feel ashamed, if someone asks us a question, we tend to ignore it, or act like we did not hear it, or walk away, or change the subject. We don't want to talk about it. They held their peace. But here it explains. This is Jesus saying, or explaining it. because he knew their thoughts. They were arguing or disputing who would be the greatest. Right after they failed, they wanted to see who would be the greatest. Human nature. People want to be number one. They want to be the greatest. They want to have the spotlight. You know, if we, as Christians, if we shine within ourselves, we do not need to be on the spotlight. We will be seen. We will be like the light that cannot be hid. The people that want the spotlight are the ones that do not shine in their heart. So Jesus had to sit down with them and explain to them. He says, if any man desire to be first, he did not say if any of you is first. If any of you desire, has the wish, the hope, if you're thinking you want to be number one, you want to be first, you want to be the greatest, you want to be right next to Jesus, kind of like the mother of James and John. She asked Jesus if her two boys can set one on the right, one on the left. What about the rest of the disciples? She didn't care about them. They could sit anywhere. But my two boys, one on the left side, one on the right side, right next to Jesus. That was her desire. Was that a good desire? It was the wrong reason. We all want to be next to Jesus. But in her mind, she wanted to raise him up, lift him up, so everyone can see them. They're sitting right next to Jesus. Everybody else is on the footstool, right beneath him. So if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last. Not might be, or perhaps he will be last. Shall be last. So this is basically telling us never to desire to be first. Which means to be high-minded. First, in physical sense. Now, spiritually, should we be first? Apostle Paul says that they all run in the race, but only one will win. So we need to run to win, to be number one, so to speak. That doesn't mean we don't care for anyone else, but we need to strive. I will strive here so I can live there in heaven. We see the mark, we go for it. We do not let anyone stop us. That's spiritual meaning. But does not mean to be high-minded, to think highly of ourselves. But we need to honor others higher than ourselves. But we should not be slothful or lazy, spiritually speaking, but be eager and have the zeal so that we can receive the crown of righteousness, which will not fade. So here Jesus shows them an example of what it means to be a servant of all. So he took a child, any child, and he set him in the midst of them. And when he took him in his arms, he said, whosoever shall receive one of such children, innocent children. It doesn't say this child was the best of all the children. We know how children can be, but their mind is innocent. If they do get in an argument with someone, they forgive each other very fast. And they continue playing like nothing happened. So whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me doesn't receive me, he says, but him that sent me. Jesus gave glory to his Father. Now Jesus We can read everywhere, the whole scripture, that he came as a servant. He washed the disciples' feet. He lowered himself so low down to the ground to wash their feet. He showed them a great example. He did not want to be first. He wasn't born in some kind of a great castle. He was born in the manger, the place where they put food, hay for the animals. How much lower can you go? But that was the example that he showed, to be a servant of all. Perhaps there's much more to be said from this portion that we read. The faith is what we need to have. You know, I'm reminded of Abraham. He's the father of faith. God appeared to him when he was 75 years old, and he promised him that he will be the father of multitude, of great nation. And yet he was 75. The son that was born from Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was 100 years old. That's a lot of years to wait for the promise. It doesn't say that he doubted. He believed. God told Abraham, leave this place and go to another place. Did he question it? No. He could have questioned it. Why do I need to leave this place? This is where my parents lived, were born. This is where I was raised. Maybe it was good for the cattle. It didn't matter. God told him, he left. He moved. He went to the land of Canaan. God promised him that he will have a son. He believed. He was 99 when the angels came to tell him. Sarah laughed. She didn't believe it. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed. And then after his son is born, finally, so many years, he's 100 years old, his son is born. Now God is asking him, that only son that you have, now you need to sacrifice him, kill him. I will be the father of multitude, and now, how? He didn't question it. That's strong faith. That's the faith we all need to have. So may God increase our faith and give us strength and all that we need so that we can be faithful unto him, so that we can prosper in faith, so that we can be victorious and ultimately inherit that everlasting life. May God bless.